It is day one of the Charlottesville, of the Virginia Film Festival in Charlottesville. I'm in the filmmaker's lounge. This is Sean McCord sitting across from Eduardo Montes Bradley.
Sounds great coming from you.
Filmmaker, raconteur, and all-around good guy, and friend of the festival, and friend of mine. And Eduardo, we're showing a couple of your films back-to-back on Saturday, 1 o'clock in Regal 4 downtown. It's called An Afternoon with Rita Dove and Julian Bond. And we're showing your two films, Julian Bond, Reflection from the Front Lines of the Civil Rights Movement, and Rita Dove, An American Portrait. These are both, I guess you would call them biographical films that you've done to very important figures.
Yes, they are biographical, but nevertheless, they are partially biographical because I took certain parts of their lives to portray. For example, in the case of Rita Dove, I think it is the Rita Dove before she became a poet.
Right.
The film ends shortly before she became who she is today. So it is, like Rita likes to call the film, is Rita Dove in the Oven. It's the making of Rita Dove.
I saw this when you screened this a few months ago at the Paramount, and you actually like went back to her hometown and like found and you went through family photographs and you kind of reconstructed not just her life but sort of her ancestors and sort of the world that made her.
As a foreign individual that's just landed into this country 30 years ago, I was always intrigued by the African-American experience, or saga, I would say. And by reading her poetry, there was this poem, Thomas and Buell, that talks about this. It's autobiographical. It talks about her great-grandfather, Thomas, who came all the way up the Mississippi, all the way up to Ohio, in what was called the Great Migration. Right. And I was very interested because she talked about African-Americans from the South looking for the American dream. And I go like, weren't they part of America? Why were they looking for the American dream?
Yeah.
I thought that the American dream was something reserved for those of us who came from outside America. So there were two countries. It was a country within a country, and that is what I was very much interested in. And I found that to be a subject of discussion, argument, and investigation in Rita Dove's biography, as well as in Julian Bond's biography.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's a natural, pardon the pun, but their stories kind of dovetail, because you found many similar elements in the life story of Julian Bond.
Absolutely, yes. And some connections with my, in the case of Julian Bond was very interesting because I wonder, as I started reading about Julian, I found out that his grandfather was called Horace Mann Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of Horace Mann is closely related to the history of education in Latin America because it was not only an abolitionist, but it was also an educator.
Mm.
Came up with this this concept of public education. Not Horace Mann, yes.
Yes, Horace Mann.
And he was married to one of the Peabody ladies. I think it was Mary Peabody, who was the translator of some of the works of Domingo Sarmiento, who turned out to be one of Argentina's presidents in the 1880s. And so there was a connection there, and everything goes in circles, and everything comes back home at some point.
We're talking to Eduardo Montes Bradley. He has two films screening back-to-back Saturday at 1 o'clock in Regal 4 downtown. The show itself is called An Evening with Rita Dove and Julian Bond. And then after the film screen, Eduardo, there's actually going to be a discussion with you and with Julian Bond and Rita Dove and Douglas Blackman.
I'm very much looking forward to that, especially to Douglas Blackman's intervention. I read his book.
Mm-hmm. What book is that?
It's a book about also slavery and African Americans. And PBS, there was a very wonderful film made. I can't recall the title, but it was one of the first books that I read on African American experience that really changed my my perspective. The other book that changed my perspective, and I would like to mention it, is Slaves for Sale by Maury McGuinness. She's one of the vice provosts of this of the University of Virginia.
Yeah.
It's an extremely interesting book that brings you to closer to the actual true dimension of what this slavery experience was, especially in Virginia, as a breeding ground for slaves. I mean, in Virginia, we bred slaves. That's terrible, but that's what was going on. It's not just about owning slaves. It's about breeding people, livestock people, and then shipping them on trains to Richmond for sale to the plantations in the South. It's an extraordinary book. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's an awful idea. I mean, it just brought me to tears and emotional shock. But to realize that, you know, it's not an abstract thing. Slavery is a real thing.
As a transplant here, as someone who didn't grow up here, you came here from Argentina, you said, mm-hmm. 30 years ago. Do you find it gives you a different perspective?
Absolutely, yes. I remember that in a recent argument with some South American scholars in Rio de Janeiro on one of my recent trips, they said, mm-hmm. well, in Argentina, we abolished slavery in 1813. And I go, like, because you didn't need slaves. Because you didn't produce anything, because slavery is the product of an economic relationship.
Right.
They were used to. They were dedicated and they were used in the production of, you know, plantations. Argentina didn't produce anything, so they didn't need them. So you said it was in a sense, it's very easy to say we abolished slavery in Argentina in 1813 when there was nothing at stake. Here, the entire economy depended on it. This country was built upon the sweat and blood of 4 million men, women, children of African-American or African descent.
American, yes, and as you said, you know, when you come here, it start to you that there are two Americas, that the that we may have, you know, overturned slavery 150 years ago, but the legacy and the cultural impact and the social impact, the economic impact still lives on. And I know you address some of these issues in these films. So this is, I don't know, fourth or fifth time you and I have spoken here at the film festival. You've carved out kind of a remarkable career for yourself doing these kinds of films mm. about, they're documentary films, but they're more than that, aren't they? They're
soul searching.
Yeah.
As long as the way that I look at documentary films is, first of all, I'm not a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not evangelical. I don't have a message or a gospel. I don't want to teach anything. I want to learn. Now, in the process of learning, in the process of going through an issue, a subject, a history, and learning, if I can imprint that process on film, it could be used later by others. And that's why probably the films are more successful in the academic arena. They're being distributed by Alexander Street Press,
mm-hmm.
in most campuses and libraries. And that's the place that my films have, in a sense, carved for themselves.
And I know when you do a film about a living person, you spend a little time talking to them, but that's not most of the film. I mean, you know, I think with Julian Bond, you sat down with him, what, just a few hours?
Yeah.
And filmed a conversation with him?
The film is like, in a sense, they happen like in a psychiatrist's couch. First, it takes a while to get to know the subject.
Uh-huh.
Then you let the subject talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring the talk of the subject into the editing room. And for 2 hours or 3 hours of recording time, I will spend about 6 to 8 months editing.
Mm-hmm.
finding what is being said, what is between the lines, what is the value of each word, and what images I can attach to it, which music, what effects.
Right, right. That's what I see you do. I mean, you start with a palette, and then you paint a film around it, and you use photographs. You use the written word in some cases. You use testimonials. It's not just sitting down and talking with a person. It's really sort of painting a whole canvas of their life. And your films fly by. I mean, Julian Bond is 34 minutes. The Rita Dove film is 48 minutes. But in both of them, when I've seen them before, you get like treated to a whole person's life, and there's never a moment to just get, you don't get bored just seeing someone there talking, because there's just so much more to that.
I think there's something very curious about the two films ending up together for two or three different reasons that I would like to mention.
Please.
One is that Julian Bond is my last digital film on video, and Rita Dove is my first film made with an SLR camera.
Interesting.
So there is a process there.
Mm-hmm.
But they do belong together. The other thing is that film festivals usually have trouble programming films that are under 1 hour.
Right.
In this case, half an hour or 50 minutes. So it was like a natural match, like a match made in heaven. They got two films by the same author on a similar subject that they can put together on one single screening. So that is also very special. Which also leads me to believe that when I try to participate in film festivals and you send the film, they're classified as shorts because they're less than 45 minutes.
Right.
So, and I've been thinking, if it's less than 45 minutes, it's a short. But if it's more than 90 minutes, it's like an extra long, it's like clothing, like, what is that's the size really matters here? it's the size of the way that we use the films, and
And of course, the fourth reason is because Dove and Bond sounds like a great crime fighting duo.
Absolutely, by no cat in the fifth round. Yes.
So it's the two films together are An Afternoon with Rita Dove and Julian Bond. Talking to director filmmaker Eduardo Montes Bradley. The film screened back to back Saturday, 1 p.m. Regal 4 Downtown Mall. Following the films is going to be a discussion with living legends Rita Dove and Julian Bond and Eduardo Montes Bradley and Douglas Blackman. It should make for a great afternoon.
I think it's unfair that I'm the only one on that table without a Pulitzer Prize. You think you can arrange that for me?
Maybe you can do like a timeshare.
All right, thank you.
All right. Eduardo, thank you very much. Always look forward to talking to you, and we'll see you around the festival.
Thank you very much.